We'll spend the next couple of hours with different guests with different perspectives to discuss Governor Walker's proposed state budget. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Wednesday, February 4th. We'll talk with a budget and political analyst in our first hour and two state lawmakers, a Republican and a Democrat, who sit on the legislature's Joint Finance Committee coming up after 7 o'clock. And we will welcome your questions and reactions about what the proposed state budget means for the state of Wisconsin. First, we have an overview from Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson.
Walker's first budget as governor expanded vouchers from Milwaukee to Racine. His last budget expanded them statewide with the 1,000 student enrollment cap. The budget he unveiled last night would take yet another step and lift the enrollment cap altogether.
You see, every child deserves the chance to succeed.
As he first hinted last week, Walker would spin off the University of Wisconsin into a new UW authority with more freedom to set its own budget. The change would affect 35,000 UW employees, though the Walker administration says they'd still receive the same benefits they do now. The governor called it a bold reform, echoing language he's been using in the early stages of his presidential bid.
As the father of the UW student, I have a real interest in the success of our state system, and I believe that this will make the University of Wisconsin stronger in the years to come.
Walker did not mention the $300 million cut he's proposed for the UW. He also didn't discuss a $146 million cut to the State Department of Corrections or a more than $5 million cut to the Education and Communications Board, which helps fund Wisconsin Public Radio and television. Walker did promote his plan to require drug testing for people who receive a variety of public aid, from jobless benefits to food share.
For those who fail, we will provide treatment so we can get them off of drugs.
He also talked about a projected property tax cut in his budget.
Just as I promised, property taxes by the end of 2016 will be lower than they were in 2014. That means lower property tax bills for 6 years in a row. How about that?
The Walker administration says the tax cut would amount to $5 per year on the median valued home. Democratic Minority Leader Peter Barca pointed out that Walker was forced to cut his budget at a time when other states were dealing with budget surpluses.
You can see that the Walker trickle-down theory clearly is not working, and my prediction is 2 years from now we'll be in equal or even a worse mess than we are now.
Democrats are all but helpless to stop Walker's agenda, though majority Republicans indicated there were some pieces that concerned them. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss listed a few, including Walker's public school budget.
I think there are going to be people who have concerns that the first year actually reduces spending.
Voss said many Republicans had problems with the way Walker's budget would borrow $1.3 billion to pay for roads.
Our caucus has discussed it, and we have sincere concerns about relying so heavily on borrowing to fund transportation and infrastructure.
And Voss said another piece of Walker's budget that would effectively end land stewardship purchases until the year 2028 was not acceptable.
I know that there is a lot of concerns about the state just buying vast tracts of land, but where I live in southeastern Wisconsin, there's a lot of development pressure.
In addition to halting stewardship purchases, Walker would cut DNR scientist positions and gut the power of the State Natural Resources Board. Those changes and others are now in lawmakers' hands. The legislature's Joint Finance Committee hopes to start voting on the budget in April. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
So what do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let us welcome in our first guest. Andrew Ruschofsky is a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and a professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW. Madison. His areas of expertise include state and local public finance and school funding. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you very much for being with us. So, your general reaction to this budget?
Well, any budget is a sign of philosophy, shows the philosophy of a governor. And this one very clearly shows that Governor Walker wants to, as he said, downsize government and cut taxes, and that's his prime goal in this budget.
Yeah, and what stands out to you the most in terms of the proposals to downsize government?
I guess the big issue, and it's already gotten a lot of attention, is the $300 million cut in the university system funding. Another thing that stands out is the treatment of K-12 education, which gets almost no new money. And we all know that year by year, costs of providing services, education included, go up. And so when you have a budget in the state, it's important to remember that the biggest single area of funding from the general fund of the state goes to K-12 education. So we're spending, I think, about $5 billion each year on education. And that means just normal pressures of growing enrollments and inflation mean you need to continue spending more. And so when you then turn around and say we're going to cut spending or at least not increase it at all, that can't but help hurt the quality of public education.
And at the same time that K through 12 education funding is largely flat, the governor did announce lifting the enrollment cap on the voucher school program. What's your analysis of that?
People obviously have different views about the value of vouchers and charter school. But one of the things that this budget does is that it, as students leave schools to enroll in vouchers, leave public schools, the money that they get from the state in the form of state aid effectively goes with them. And that means that public schools have less money. In many cases, we're talking about a few students leaving this school and a few students leaving that school. That doesn't lower the costs of providing education. You still have to have a teacher in the classroom, even though there are one or two fewer students. And so lifting the cap has the potential to really hurting the ability of public schools, and often public schools in our poorest communities, from improving or even maintaining the quality of education.
And the governor did, as you mentioned, talk about cutting taxes. This time around, in the budget address anyway, we heard that he is going to cut property taxes. Sounds like $5 a year per average home.
There are several things to think about the property tax cuts. One, in his address, he talked about his previous cuts. And it is, I think, important to remind your listeners that the reason the state has a budget deficit now is not because of the decline in the economy. The economy across the nation has been growing, but rather that the legislature over the past couple of years has chosen to legislate large cuts in revenue, in taxes, and that has led to a big deficit. And so one might assume that a response would be, well, we've created a deficit through tax cuts. Let's reverse those tax cuts or let's increase revenue. But in fact, the governor has chosen to continue tax cuts. And the form that he chose, the school levy credit, is a form of tax cuts that provides property tax cuts to all property tax owners. And in my own research from a few years ago, I found that only about half of school levy credit benefit goes to Wisconsin homeowners of their own primary residence. And so that, in effect, that means that, let's say, $100 million of the proposed school levy tax credit increase is not going to improve schools, but rather going to provide tax relief for non-residents, Illinois residents who have vacation homes, corporations from around the world, residents and homeowners in Wisconsin.
We'll talk more about how the proposed state budget treats education. including more on that $300 million proposed cut to the UW system, and the promise of more autonomy, the public authority concept. We'll also talk about some of the other big-ticket items in the budget, like borrowing for transportation and a new Milwaukee Bucks arena. And some of the newer proposals, too. We didn't hear much about these prior to the budget address last night. Cutting some positions at the DNR and the Department of Corrections. Also, that $5 million cut to the Educational Communications Board, which oversees public broadcasting. We'll check news, and then we'll be back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. So what is your reaction to Governor Walker's proposed state budget? Do you think his plans are generally good or bad for Wisconsin? Do you generally support or oppose the state budget proposals? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are getting budget analysis from Andrew Roshofsky, a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts. He is also a professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. I'm going to mention now that Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension. And I am an employee of the UW system, and certainly Wisconsin Public Radio is affected by the proposed state budget and the proposed state budget cuts, both to the university and to the Educational Communications Board. The governor last night didn't say it in his speech, but his budget includes plans to cut $5 million from the Educational Communications Board. The governor's office believes that the ECB, which in part funds Wisconsin Public Radio and television, can make up that money through fundraising. And just a quick reaction, Professor Roshofsky, to partially defunding public broadcasting.
Personally, I think it's a really bad idea, but it's also emblematic of a theme in this budget, which is shift the burden to someone else. And so not only in this case do we see it burden on private contributors to public radio and television, but we also see it in a shift on burden to the local governments. And we've talked about local school districts, but town governments, municipal governments, county governments, all of those governments are going to face a continuing property tax freeze, levy freeze. You're not allowed to raise more money than you did last year unless you have some new growth. But think about what local governments do. Police, fire, sanitation, parks, public health. The costs of providing all those services and snow removal at this time of year go up over time, but local governments are being told by the state, wait a minute, you can't control how much financing, you can't raise more taxes or make it very difficult for you to raise more property taxes. You'll just effectively have to cut services. You're the ones who are going to have to suffer. And so a theme here is that the governor wants to make his budget look good. He wants to be able to continue to cut property taxes, even if it has real burdens on the citizens of the state, but through their local governments and school districts rather than through the state.
To now the $300 million a cut for the UW system. He didn't specifically mention the cut in the budget address, though we had heard about it earlier. He did, though, say that the university has wanted autonomy for a long time, and he is granting that. So will this autonomy help the UW system deal with a $300 million cut in funding?
I think not really. First thing to remember is the autonomy doesn't even go into effect until the second year of the budget, but the cut in funding from the state happens immediately in the first year of the budget. And secondly, the autonomy gives the university things like flexibility in how they hire people and flexibility in building capital projects, new buildings. Those are things that may lead to more efficiencies, may allow the university to hire the best possible person for a staff position. They don't necessarily save any money or very little money. And yes, there'll be some cost savings, but I think people who have looked at this would suggest that the cost savings will happen way in the future and will be a small fraction of the $300 million.
Yeah. This proposal to create a public authority and giving the UW system independence from state government, this also means, according to language in the budget, not that he said last night, that the shared governance, where faculty have a say in how the university is governed, is taken away?
I think my understanding is that it's not implicitly taken away, but it's no longer guaranteed by state statute. And so, yes, somewhere down the line in the future, shared governance, even faculty tenure, lots of things could, at least in theory, be taken away. We don't know that at the moment.
What about this borrowing for road projects, for transportation needs? There's some concern even from Republicans on that.
I think the concern is justified, or at least partially justified. In part, the governor is, and in his speech last night, he emphasized that overall the state is borrowing less than it did in the past. But what is new is that all the borrowing, as far as I understand, 100% of the borrowing is going for new road projects. And that means that there'll be no borrowing for everything else that the state, long-term projects that the state appropriately borrows money for. One of them is any land purchases to protect land from new development until 2028. Another one are buildings, maybe new labs for university buildings, new healthcare facilities, and so forth. There will be zero building on projects that have been planned for a long time, no borrowing on that building for a couple years. And coming back to transportation, we fund roads primarily by the gas tax and by license fees. As everyone knows, as people are driving less, as cars are becoming more efficient, the gas tax brings in less revenue, particularly because it's a fixed number of cents per gallon. And that means there's less revenue, although costs go up. This is a problem in Wisconsin. It's a problem in many states. Rather than fixing the basic funding problem, which would involve raising the gas tax or coming up with a road mileage tax or something else, the governor has chosen, for whatever reason, to do all the road spending through borrowing. And that is short-sighted, and it's not going to make the fundamental problem of how we fund our roads go away.
I'm Joy Cardine. We are analyzing Governor Walker's proposed state budget that he unveiled last night in his state budget address before a joint session of the state legislature. And we have an open line for you for your reactions to what he is planning on doing. What do you think of the cuts he is proposing? What do you think about the borrowing he is proposing? Do you have a question about a particular budget item? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We're talking with a political and budget analyst, Andrew Reshofsky, during this first hour of our program this morning. Coming up in our next hour, in our big question, we will hear from two members of the legislature's Joint Finance Committee, a Republican state representative, Dale Coinga, and Democratic State Senator John Erpenbach. We'll talk about the proposals that Governor Walker unveiled in his budget address last night. Let's take a call now from Troy in Muskego. Hello, Troy.
Hello. You know, I'm really just frustrated that I live in a state that caters, it seems like our governor is catering to two kinds of people, either really well-off business owners or retired people who have stocks. It seems like his budget cuts don't do anything for a person that works for a living. You know, I pay taxes, and I'd rather pay higher taxes and have the services that come with paying those taxes. Because people who are well off, they can afford, you know, they're not, these budget cuts don't affect them. And if anything, they got things to gain because, you know, lower taxes, cheaper taxes for a business owner is just a bonus. And for someone who's retired that's not working, you know, that's a bonus for them. But for a person who's raising a family or working for a living, I don't understand how anybody who works for a living would even, you know, support our governor.
Professor Reshofsky, anything in this budget to help you know, the working person, or does it cater to the wealthy and the retired?
In some sense, I'm not sure I put it exactly that way, but the budget is dominated by tax cuts. And if you actually look at the revenue that's coming in, the biggest cuts come from cuts that were passed several years ago. Manufacturing and agricultural credits that were phased in. Those are big tax cuts for manufacturing firms. And the argument that the administration makes is that that's going to spur economic growth and development. And the sad fact is that that is almost certainly not true. There's a lot of evidence that business firms are making decisions on a whole range of reasons. They look for good services. They look for educated labor forces, not just cuts in their taxes. So we're taking money out of the system that could provide services for the working people in Wisconsin and giving them to tax cuts that are unlikely to have much, if any, impact on positive impact on economic growth in Wisconsin.
Stephen Muskego asks, is Governor Walker's budget happening in isolation or in concert with similar policies affected by other GOP state administrations across the U.S.? He says he thinks these policies are what the group ALEC has been trying to spread.
I don't know about whether ALEC has been giving directions to have cuts that focus on, to have budgets that focus on tax cuts. But I do know that trying to follow what's happening in different states, that a number of states with GOP governors have pursued budgets that try to downsize government and that have front and center large revenue reductions, tax cuts.
Professor Reshofsky, do you in any way see Governor Walker's presidential ambitions, his possible, maybe probable presidential candidacy? Do you see this reflected in this state budget?
That's obviously speculation, and I'm not sure. But let me mention a couple of things. Avoiding gas tax increase when it seems that would be an important element of funding our road funding problems. His provisions to require drug testing in order to get unemployment compensation or food stamps, those likely popular, at least for people on the right. They're not likely to save any money. In fact, and the governor said, if people test positively, we're going to have drug treatment programs. They're likely to cost money if they're done appropriately. Eliminating state jobs, including public television and radio, and cuts in many parts of the budget, may be politically popular, although they don't save a lot of money and they don't generate growth within the state.
Yeah. Let's take
so one can infer that they're politically motivated from a more national perspective.
Chris in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Chris.
Hi. When the governor was the county executive, he had these kinds of things going on, these cuts, these tax things, but the county board, being a bunch of liberals, put the kibosh on a lot of it, changed it, added taxes, and the county kept on chugging along. I can't say we're doing great, but we're still chugging along. The counterpoint to the governor is people who are just like the governor. There is no counterpoint. I'm not sure what's going to happen in this state because, like you say, things are going down the wrong way in a lot of directions. There is nobody to put the brakes on this.
All right. Well, can you address that we have an even stronger Republican majority in both houses of the state legislature and what that might mean for this budget proposal?
I guess two comments. One, the governor has been very consistent from early in his public career to pushing and tax cuts as the answer to a lot of our problems. And I fully believe that he believes that it's really faith-based budgeting, that cutting the size of government taxes is going to lead to prosperity. And, you know, the evidence over the past few years suggests that that's certainly not true, but he has not lost his faith in that. And with now larger majorities in the legislature, his ability to carry forth on his budget promises or his budget plans is only strengthened.
Well, let's talk some about you touched on the cut that he's proposing for the DNR and the mandate to not buy any more property through the stewardship fund. I guess he is also talking about changing the autonomy a little bit and having more oversight of the Department of Natural Resources. Any thoughts on what this means for environmental conservation and regulation in Wisconsin?
I guess over the last couple years during the governor's first term, there have been battles between environmentalists and the state that wants to expand mining and expand development. And I'm not an expert in this area, but it appears to me that this is maybe a step that's going to try to weaken the DNR and by inference, strengthen the powers that want to develop, even if that development leads to substantial environmental degradation within the state.
We are talking about Governor Walker's proposed state budget. The governor unveiled his 2015-2017 state budget proposal before a joint session of the state legislature last night. We carried that address live on Wisconsin Public Radio, and now we are talking about what he said last night and what he didn't say. What is in this proposed state budget, and what does it mean to you? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We welcome your reaction to any of the proposals in Governor Walker's budget, from the $300 million cut to the UW system, to the borrowing for state roads. We can talk some more about this plan to drug test public aid recipients and more after this news. I'm Joy Cardine talking with our guest public policy expert analyzing Governor Walker's biennial budget address, and we're welcoming your questions and your impressions of his spending plan. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is Andrew Reshofsky. He is a professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. He is a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts. Our next caller is Hugh in Madison. Hello, Hugh.
Hi. I believe it's total wrong direction to reduce funding for Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television and increase funding for roads, et cetera.
All right, Hugh, thanks very much for those just joining us. Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the Educational Communications Board and the University of Wisconsin Extension. And I am an employee of the University of Wisconsin Extension. The governor last night didn't talk about it in his budget address, but his state budget does include a $5 million cut to the Educational Communications Board, which is one of our parents at Wisconsin Public Radio. I don't know exactly how those funds will shake out if the budget is approved as proposed. The Educational Communications Board does oversee all of the transmitters that transmit the Wisconsin Public Radio signals and the Wisconsin Public Television signals, for that matter. Hugh thinks that's the wrong direction to cut public media funds while increasing funding for roads. Marcia in Ellsworth has a different perspective. Hello, Marcia.
Hi. Yes, thank you, Joy, for taking my call. I want to tell you that I'm a regular listener, and I consider it difficult for you this morning, no doubt, to speak on these topics, and thank you for your disclaimer about who you work for and the funding. And, of course, your guest is also an employee of the state and the UW system. I want to say that my kids went through public school in Wisconsin, and they went to the University of Wisconsin. And they're 3 years apart in age. And between the time that my daughter entered as a freshman and when my son entered, tuition went up 40%. This is a serious problem for the average resident of Wisconsin who wants their child to stay in state and get a good quality education, which I do believe it is a good quality education. But something needs to be done, and I think Governor Walker is trying to take a creative approach to helping. I mean, maybe it's my age group, but I have many friends. Their young adult children are struggling with their college loans. How are they going to get started in life? And something different needs to be done. So they're giving autonomy to one of the most educated group of people in our state, which is the UW system, so that they can start to make some changes. Let's be a leader in our country. I think Governor Walker's budget also shows leadership by allowing statewide school choice to begin to develop, and it's income-based. It's for families who want to make a choice for their child's education, but they can't afford a different schooling choice.
Marcia, thanks very much. It sounds like you have more to say, and I know you told our producer that you had some other things to say, but before we go too much further, let me get Professor Reshofsky to react to Marcia's story that, you know, tuition went up 40% when her kids were going to school, and something needs to be done.
Well, one of the reasons tuition went up was that there's been a long history of the state reducing its support for public education, the state's budget contribution to the UW system. And what's particularly troubling from the perspective of the ability to continue to provide high-quality education in the UW system is freezing tuition and cutting the state funding at the same time, that inevitably will lead to cuts in the quality of public education. And I'd also add that increasing tuition is a very blunt instrument. It lowers the cost or doesn't increase the cost for many students who need financial help, but it also reduces the cost for the many middle class and upper middle class families that have saved for college and can afford to pay UW tuition, which is relatively low relative to the Big Ten average and certainly relative to private universities. So a targeted approach to help people who really need it and keep down borrowing would certainly make sense rather than this very blunt freeze that's now going to be in its third and fourth year.
Yeah, so the freeze covers the next 2 years as well. But then if the UW system has autonomy and the freeze is unfrozen, some are concerned that then tuition will skyrocket. And even some Republican lawmakers are expressing concern about that. Do you think that's a legitimate concern?
No, there certainly will be. If the university gets through the next 2 years and has autonomy, tuition will certainly increase. The cost of providing education increase. The cost of everything has to go up. So it's really artificial to say, no, you can't maintain the price of education when everything else, inflation goes up. I suspect that the Board of Regents, which, remember, are appointed by our political leaders, would not allow skyrocketing tuition increases. They may have autonomy from the legislature, but it doesn't mean that they're not citizens and residents of Wisconsin and part of the political system. And so I think the worry that you're suddenly going to have 15% annual increases is unjustified.
Marcia also expressing her support for the voucher school program, the school choice program, the governor lifting the enrollment cap on that program that gives taxpayer-funded vouchers to parents to send their children to private schools, including religious schools. But since we talked a little bit about that and we are running a little bit short on time, I also wanted to ask you about Governor Walker eliminating funding for the Common Core linked test and saying that local school districts do not have to follow the Common Core standards. How significant is that?
I think that's another good example of something that's in the budget, not because of its own merits, but because it is seen as being politically a wise thing to oppose the Common Core. And as we know, a number of potential presidential candidates have been, on the Republican side, have been suddenly arguing against the Common Core curriculum standards, which they supported in the past.
And Marcia did mention to our producer that she wanted to support the proposed cut of $5 million to the Educational Communications Board, in essence saying that, I don't want to misquote her, but the sentiment being that liberal public broadcasting can do more fundraising to make up for that cut. Since public broadcasting has faced threatened cuts in the past on the national level, most recently Mitt Romney, when he was running for president, talked about defunding public broadcasting. Is there a political motivation to that cut?
I really don't know, and I'm loath as a public finance economist to try to attribute motivations to the governor. It could be, but I'm not sure.
All right, let's go next to Tommy in Madison. Hello, Tommy.
Yeah, so thank you for taking my call. you've had three elections to get rid of Governor Walker, and Wisconsin Public Radio has done all they can to possibly get rid of him. Why don't you try to get rid of him again? Why don't you try to run another recall election and get rid of him if you don't like him, Joy? Why not?
Tommy, I'm talking to a guest about the governor's budget proposals. What do you think about those?
I think they're excellent. I think the UW is bloated. And as far as you're concerned about tuition's raising, your tuition going high, they're going to go high no matter what. You know, public education needs to be defunded. People need to have school choice. Liberals are always for choice. How about giving us school choice? How about giving poor black children in Milwaukee the same choices that the rich white liberal kids have to go to private schools? How about doing that, Joy? Huh? How about being spiritual?
Tell me, you're showing your support for the governor's proposals. I'm talking to a guest about the governor's proposals. Let me get our guest to react to that particular. Here we have another one who thinks that this is the right direction for the state of Wisconsin. Do you have any reaction?
Obviously, any viewer has views on the budget, and it's not that one is right or wrong. Let me just mention the caller's statement that the university system is bloated. Having now retired from the university system, but having been a faculty member for a number of years and seeing how hard my colleagues work, many, many more than 40 hours a week, seeing how budget after budget, which has been reduced, and administrative support has been reduced, it's very hard to take seriously comments that we have an educational system that is bloated.
Yeah. In our final minute, any your takeaway from the governor's budget proposals?
I guess this is a sign that the governor really wants to downsize government. He doesn't, fully appreciate the fact that for Wisconsin to continue to grow and prosper, it needs to invest in its citizens, it needs to invest in education, and this budget, I think, moves the state in the wrong direction rather than towards growing prosperity.
Thank you very much for being with us. Andrew Reshofsky is a fellow at the Lincoln Institute of Land Policy in Cambridge, Massachusetts, professor emeritus of public affairs and applied economics at UW-Madison. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Caleb Lato, and to Christy Taylor for producing and directing this program. Our coverage of Wisconsin's proposed state budget continues in our Big Question segment coming up after the news. This is the Ideas Network.